And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of The Awakening. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be here with you again this week on the podcast. And I hope you've been tuning in and checking them out. Please share with a friend, tell a neighbor, tell your family members that I am back on the air with American Family Radio with a weekly podcast that usually posts on Wednesdays. Well, we are down to less than 2 weeks from the election. And I need to get right into it, folks, because we've got a lot to cover. Let me just say really quickly before I get to that, to the issues that are starkly presented before us right now in this election. Wow. Let me remind you, I will be speaking on Sunday, November the 3rd. That's right before the election. For those of you who are anywhere in the Florida area, I will be speaking at Believers Fellowship in Tampa, Florida. Well, it's right outside in Lakeland, Florida, 5240 North Socrum Loop Road. And I will be speaking there on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then I will be speaking for the 50-day fight in Tampa, Florida on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. And that's at the Crossing Church, pastored by Pastor Greg Dumas. So I hope that you, if you are in the area, will come on out and join us. We are doing the pre-election rally, in a sense, rallying Christians to stand up, to get out there and vote if they haven't already. By the way, I want to remind you, I have already voted. I hope you have too. If you haven't, go ahead and get out there and vote. Don't wait until Election Day. Folks, we are in a new era now, and we need to get as many votes in the can as we can before Election Day, and then use your time and your energy to encourage others to get out there and vote on Election Day if they haven't voted already. I have a feeling there are going to be lines this Election Day, so you can avoid that, even though I've heard there's some lines even for early voting. But you can probably avoid that by picking your time and getting your vote in early now. Now, in fact, that comes to one of the main issues I want to talk about today, which is the reliability of the vote. But before I get to that, I did a program. By the time you're hearing this, it will have been about a day ago. I did a local radio program with a dear friend of mine, Kimberly Hughes, who hosts a program that is broadcast locally in the Virginia Beach area. And we had a caller call in. And I want to start here by sharing this with you because I think it will be helpful to all of us. By the way, the program is called Vote for the Truth. And she does a wonderful job hosting that. But I had a caller call in, and the caller says this, okay? I'm a Christian, and, you know, I hear everything you two are saying. And, of course, she and I are on the same page. Christians got to vote. Christians got to have to stand up and vote for our Christian values. And that cannot possibly mean voting for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, because these people are the antithesis of everything that Christianity represents. But what he says is, well, I'm a Christian too. And I'll tell you, I'm tired of hearing the blame game. I'm tired of hearing Christians blaming the other side. Homosexuality has been going on for a long time in this country, and abortion has been going on for a long time in this country, and that there's nothing new about that. And you know, I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with homosexuality. But now there's the big but, okay? I said in one sermon years ago, I said, you know, we need to get our butts out of the way. Because here comes the big but, which means ignore everything I said because it doesn't really matter up until now. Now I'm going to tell you what I really think. But, you know, I don't trust the character of Donald Trump, and Kamala Harris has got good character and this, that, and the other, and we need to vote for them because she's going to do, she can't. I mean, and then just went on with a whole bunch of gobbledygook and nothing. Because as I said before, there is nothing for them to tout. What are they going to say? If they are attempting to persuade the American people to vote for them based on their record, what are they going to say? Vote for me. I'm going to bring more illegal alien invaders into the country to increase crime and put pressure on your housing and put pressure on your schools and put pressure on your health care and increase your taxes, because we're going to have to pay these folks and pay for these folks with your tax dollars. Vote for me because I'm going to give you some more of that. Or how about this one? Vote for me because I'm going to make sure that more biological men can play on women's teams in collegiate sports, in Olympic sports. I want to make sure that more biological men are in there competing with your daughters and competing with the young girls who are trying to make their way in sports and sometimes trying to pay their way through college with sports. I'm going to make sure that more guys can compete with them. I'm going to make sure that more guys get to go into their restrooms, get to go into their locker rooms, get to shower in front of them. If you don't think you've had enough of that, vote for me because I'm going to give you more of it. Well, how about this? Vote for me because I'm going to increase your energy prices, because I'm going to make sure that America is not energy dependent, because we can't afford to use fossil fuels. So I'm going to make sure that we have to import plenty of oil from overseas. I'm going to make sure that America is not using the energy that is deposited in our own ground, in our own country. We're not going to use that. I want to get those prices up so that you can't use them and won't use them. And that way, we're going to prepare you for the world of solar and wind. That's your argument? There's nothing to be said. There's no case to be made. Our country under these folks has economically and culturally, frankly, on both counts and politically as well, has been an unmitigated disaster. Well, how about this one? Vote for me because I'm going to make sure that more prosecutors go after Christians and conservatives and more U.S. attorneys and the Justice Department goes after Christians and conservatives who won't bake a same-sex wedding cake, or won't do so-called, because it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a same-sex wedding. Or won't do a transitioning cake, or what have you. I'm going to make sure that the Justice Department turns its full force and power and energy to punish those people. That's your argument? That's the case you want to make? And how about this one? As the piece de resistance. Vote for me because I'm going to make sure that we can kill as many unborn babies as possible. We're going to open the floodgates from the moment of conception to the moment before they emerge from the womb. We're going to make sure that there is the full legal right and protection to kill that unborn baby if we decide that we don't want it. Oh, and by the way, if it's a later term abortion, in which the child could survive outside the mother's womb, disconnected from the mother's umbilical cord, and the child is inadvertently born alive by mistake, we're going to make sure you can kill that baby too. That's your closing argument? Because folks, that's what they're offering us. Of course, they're not going to come out and say that as explicitly as I have, but you know that's what they're thinking. Because their track record shows it. So here's what I want to warn you about in this little introductory comment. These people, like this caller I had on this other program, claiming to be Christians, trying to discourage you by saying somehow, well, you're barking up the wrong tree because after all, we've always had homosexuality, we've always had abortion, and those issues are nothing new. Christians shouldn't be voting on those issues. Well, I just laid out for you more than those two issues. But how in the world can you suggest that Christians vote antithetical to God's word? Vote against the principles laid out in God's word. How can you suggest that and claim to be a Christian? But I really think that's one of the tricks. They're going to trot these people out. And they've been doing it all along. But I think we're going to see more of it here in the closing days of this campaign. They're going to trot these so-called Christians out to tell Christians, well, you shouldn't be voting on those issues because after all, look at the character of Donald Trump. Well, first of all, I put Donald Trump's character up against Kamala Harris's any day of the week and twice on Sunday. But there is no perfect character running for office. And what we as Christians have to focus on is policies. What will the person do? And for that, we've got a clear, stark contrast between the policies of a Kamala Harris, as evidenced by her agreement with, I mean, just recently asked, what would you do differently? Oh, I can't think of anything. So the policies of the Biden-Harris administration versus the policies of a Trump administration, which we've already seen in action for years, and in this case now, a Trump-Vance administration. The difference is stark. And by the way, you don't have to believe that Trump is a saint or believe that he's the second coming, which I don't, by the way, or believe that he's perfect or believe that he's infallible, which I don't. I trust none of you Christians listening to me does either. But you can believe that his policies are far better for America and far better for the American people and our families and our economy and our foreign policy and our military than anything that we've seen coming out of the Biden-Harris administration. My goodness, it's not even a close case. I don't even understand how the race is close. Now, we're hearing right now that Donald Trump is pulling ahead, not by wide margins, but he's pulling ahead. I don't even understand how it's close. I don't even understand how she was ever on the radar. I mean, the woman couldn't get a single vote. And she had something that I didn't have when I ran. She had the mainstream media prepared to coronate her as Queen Kamala, or Kamala, however you pronounce it. Yeah, I mean, they were, but she was so inept. She was so inarticulate. She was so superficial, so incapable of articulating any kind of compelling vision for the country that would suggest she could be the next president and lead the country well, that she was the first one in the group to flop. I mean, my campaign lasted longer than Kamala Harris's did. And several people dropped out before I did. And the mainstream media wouldn't even acknowledge that I was running. And now somehow we're supposed to look to her when the woman hasn't even had to win a single vote to be in the position that she's in now. You know, nobody voted for her. People that voted, even the even the even the dead ones that voted and the illegal immigrants that voted and the fictional people that voted probably in the 2020 election didn't vote for Kamala Harris. They were voting for Joe Biden. I probably don't need to say this to you, but just don't buy it. Well, I'm a Christian too, but oh, please give me a break. And I told the guy, by the way, I said, why don't you just be honest and just say, look, I'm a Kamala Harris supporter. I don't believe in Christian ideals, rather than all this mumbo jumbo about, I'm against abortion too, but I'm against transgenderism too, but I'm against homosexuality too, but. Didn't mean a bit of it. Not a bit of it. And here's, by the way, folks, here's the contrast. We as Christians pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we should be voting for leaders not to understand that or implement that perfectly, because it can't be done in an earthly context through a government. That has to happen more through the change of hearts in the American people and will ultimately done through the perfection of us all in the resurrection. So we can't expect that to be done, but to choose leaders who at least come closer to that than others. If there were a prayer uttered out of the Harris-Waltz campaign, you know what it'd be? Our kingdom come. Our will be done. Maybe on earth as it would be in hell. No, thank you. No, thank you. So don't allow, and not only you, because if you're listening to me right now, you're probably inoculated from this anyway, but don't allow Christians around you to be snookered with that nonsense, to be taken in by it. Because that's how the person began. Well, I'm a Christian too. And then, but you all are doing nothing but just playing the blame game. And look at Donald Trump and look at his background. I said, well, look at his policies and look at what he did in 4 years. What is there to complain about? I agree with every single step he took or every single little thing he did. But my goodness, overall, whoa. It's not even a hard question. I don't even know why it's close. Well, it's close because the Democrat Party has created a demonic political machine that is literally churning out people to be their automatons, to be their robots. Because they're indoctrinating them in the government schools, in the colleges and universities. Now they've got many corporations engaged in the indoctrination process. The entertainment culture is indoctrinating people. Arts and entertainment is indoctrinating people. And basically they're constantly churning out an army on the conveyor belt of leftist, Marxist, godless policies. They are constantly feeding and recruiting the coalition of the godless. And we Christians and conservatives have really got to catch on to this, which is why we need more Christian schools and we need more businesses. I think I may have told you all about a business called Nutramax down in South Carolina. Wonderful group of Christians, Christian family. It is a closely held business. It's not on the stock exchange, but they run their business like Christians. They seek to disciple their employees. Nobody is forced to become a Christian. You don't have to be a Christian to be hired, but they let people know. But we are a Christian family. We run our business according to Christian principles, and people get saved. They get their attitudes turned around. They brought me down there to speak to their employees. They've got about 800 employees. I got to speak to about 200, 225 of them at a luncheon. We need more companies like that, who are running their businesses according to Christian principles. We've got to create our own machine, if you will, except it won't be an organization, it will be an organism. It'll be the living body of Christ, helping people not to be brainwashed, but to be heart changed. That's the difference. Not brainwashing, heart changing. Opening their hearts to the truth of God's word and to the vision that God has for us as human beings. And you know, let's get down to some brass tacks in this. There's some other things I want to cover, but let me go. I really believe the Holy Spirit is leading me in bringing this to the fore. You know, God's will for us is human flourishing. Had God not wanted that for us, he wouldn't have started in the Garden of Eden, where there was everything provided for Adam. Everything for him and Eve to flourish. It was a perfect environment. Now, according to the law of first mention in biblical interpretation, you would have to then determine that's God's will for man. That's his will for humanity. He wants us to live like the Garden of Eden. And so the question for us in politics is the same as in education, as in science, as in how we run our families, how we run our businesses. What most effectively produces human flourishing? Allows you to be the very best you can be, to fulfill your God-given potential, allows your children, your grandchildren to fulfill all that God has put on the inside of them. What propels them rather than pummels them? What elevates them rather than denigrates them? And I'm talking about according to God's standards, okay? Let's be clear. You all know that, but just anybody else watching this, what does that mean? According to God's standards. See, so God's standards can't include killing unborn babies. That doesn't lead to human flourishing. That leads to human death. God's standards can't include telling men they can become women and women they can become men, and telling little children they were born in the wrong body and all such nonsense. The data that I've read suggests, in fact, I just heard a lecture on this at an Answers for Genesis, and I was out there at their men's conference a couple weeks ago, suggests when people go through these transitioning processes, where they're given hormones and they're operated on and all of this, they are more likely to commit suicide. They are more likely to commit suicide than they were before they went through the transition. Because as I have pointed out, folks, we are not our gender simply based upon appearance. We are our gender at the cellular and molecular level. In other words, every cell of your body, every cell of the human body is marked with the gender imprint. Every cell has either the XX or XY chromosome. And if it's XX, that's female. If it's XY, that's male. And that's not just your physiology or your outward biological presentation. That's every cell of your body. You can't change that by putting on makeup or having a man put on a dress or a woman put on men's clothing or even surgically mutilating somebody. You can't change it. And this idea that somehow you can doesn't lead to human flourishing. it leads to human suffering and pain and death. And I mean, likewise, can anyone say that what is happening on our southern border, particularly in allowing this alien invasion, is helping Americans? Well, that would be preposterous. Or helping those who are being trafficked across the border by the cartels. And the cartels are in, they are in charge of our southern border on the other side. And let there be no mistake. And some people would argue they're in charge of the border on our side as well when it comes to the trafficking people, putting them in, using them as sex slaves, using them as drug mules, and all of this. Can anybody say, oh yeah, man, this is making life better for Americans and better for the illegal aliens coming across? It's not making life better for anybody. Well, you got kids dying on the track, and you got them coming over here being put into sex slavery and other forms of slavery in order to pay the cartels for what it costs them to get them across the border. How in the world is that leading to human flourishing? How is the fentanyl leading to human flourishing? How the traffic in illegal firearms leading to human flourishing? There's nothing about it that leads to human flourishing. God's standards lead to human flourishing because that's His will for us. And you know, look, folks, you could just go right down the line. Think about all of this DEI stuff, diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, which is really a violation of the scripture too, as well, because the scripture says that false scales are an abomination to God. And that's what that is. It's putting your hand on the scale and saying, well, I'm going to weigh one standard for you because of the color of your skin and another standard for you. That's false scales. That's an abomination to God, folks. And does it lead to human flourishing? Does it really? No, of course it does. It leads to division. It leads to incompetence. Look at Kamala Harris. I mean, this woman is the paradigm of incompetence. She is the paradigm of what it is to not have earned your way to where you are through your ability, that this nomination was given to her, the nomination for VP was given to her, and I dare say her whole career was given to her, and it wasn't given to her because of her competence or her brilliance or anything like that, because she doesn't have any of that, and I won't even get into how she got it. But I'll tell you what, it's not good. It's not how you or I want our daughters to flourish, to succeed. So, in other words, folks, nothing that they're offering leads to human flourishing. It all leads to pain, to suffering, to denigration. I mean, our culture has declined remarkably. This guy that I mentioned who called into this local program and basically tried to shut Kimberly and me down for raising these issues, said, well, you know, there's always been homosexuality. There's always been gender problems. There's always been illegal immigration. You know, basically saying, you're just making up stuff because, you know, I guess you're mesmerized by Donald Trump. What he was refusing to acknowledge, what he was refusing to deal with, and then claiming to be a Christian as well, is the fact that we have absolute standards by which to measure whether something is right or wrong, and those absolute standards are good or bad, and those absolute standards are given to us by God. And this notion that the culture has not been denigrated and this stuff has always existed is a lie out of the pit of hell. Because look, I don't know exactly when, I need to go back and do a study on this, and maybe some of you listening to me do know. But what, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 15, but I think probably more like 10. This whole notion of transitioning was either unheard of or brand new. This lie. So what are you saying? This has always been the case. No, it has not always been the case. Look, on killing unborn babies 30 years ago now, Bill Clinton said abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And that was acceptable to his party, which meant that we should limit the number of abortions because it's not good. Rare, right? That's what rare means, right? But then, of course, safe and legal was a concession to the pro-baby killing industry. But rare. You don't hear that now. Because the culture has degenerated to a point where killing an unborn baby is celebrated. As if there's something to be proud of. Let me tell you all about there's a woman who is I think she's still there in the state legislature in Vermont. I met her at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers that was founded by Jason Rayford from Arkansas, former state senator from Arkansas and candidate for lieutenant governor there. But he's created this wonderful organization, the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, NACL. By the way, the NACL is the chemical designation for salt. Interesting. And she said every year on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, she said all of her, because she was, I think, only one Republican in the whole legislature. Maybe there were a couple more, but she said the entire Democrat legislature would get together and have a big drinking party, a big confab to celebrate Roe v. Wade, to celebrate killing unborn babies. Said they would get drunk and they would carouse. And I mean, recently they trotted out these celebrities, Ben Stiller and a couple of others, to say, you know, men need to stand up for abortion too, because it's just as important to men as it is to women. Why don't you just put up a billboard and say, listen, we need abortion in order to uphold the standard of promiscuity, so that everybody can sleep around, and then, you know, if the results are that you end up with a pregnancy you don't want, you just kill the unborn baby. That's just as important to no account men as it is to loose women. I mean, that's really what he's saying. Now, here's my point. This is where we've come to. There was a time when people hid their sin because they knew it was wrong and they knew that they were not going to get societal approval for it. So people lived together. Yes, I would argue much fewer than, in fact, I know as a fact, statistically, far fewer, 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago than now. They lived together, fewer, but they didn't announce it. Now what have you got? Oh, we're having a party because we're moving in together. And sure, did abortions take place? I mean, these baby killing operations? Sure, of course they did. But nobody was running around talking about shout your abortion or having rallies to celebrate. Remember the comedian? I think it was a comedian who stood up in a rally in Seattle and bragged about how many abortions she had in Seattle. That's why she loved Seattle, because she had several abortions in Seattle. I mean, that is a sea change culturally. So, look, we are in a spiritual battle. And the enemy is now recruiting so-called Christians, and I think we're going to see more and more of this, to come into our camp and say, well, I'm a Christian too, but you all are wrong. And let me explain to you why, because a bunch of sophistry, a bunch of nonsense. And we as Christians need to be inoculated against that. And I certainly let him know. I said, look, why don't you just be honest and just tell us what you're really about. I mean, you're not a Christian. Yeah, I said that to him one day, because I said, you're not a Christian. I said, you are using that as a way of trying to get us to back off of our Christian commitment, because you're posing as one of us so that you can say, but I'm not. And he never said he was not going to vote for Donald Trump. He never said he was going to vote for Kamala Harris, but it was clear that that's where he was going. And that's what he was trying to convince us of. And tried to convince the audience of, obviously. That's one of the ways they're going to come at us. Now, let me try to get to in the 10 minutes or so that I've got left. But that was really, that's a discussion worthy of having, because this is one of the tricks of the enemy, right? To convince you, because that's how he got Adam and Eve to fall. Well, you know, let's not be so strict about what God said and what God means, okay? There's plenty of wiggle room here. And so what's he told Jesus? Well, if you're the Son of God, you're hungry, right? God wants you to eat. Just command that these stones be turned to bread. And you've got it. No problem. I was told that one so-called Christian said, well, I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris because even though I don't agree with abortion, I don't agree with same-sex marriage, I don't agree with all this transgender stuff, she's going to give a tax credit to families when they have children. Oh, so really? That's what this now comes down to? I'm going to sell out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? What does it profit us if we gain the whole world, lose our own soul, but now I'm supposed to not defend the lives of unborn children, and I'm supposed to wink at and turn my eyes away from this rank rebellion against God's established natural order, both with homosexuality and all this transitioning nonsense, because she's going to give me something. I'm going to get paid off. Whoa, well, that's different. I mean, let's not be too loyal to God here when somebody's is going to write you some checks and give you some money. It is so disloyal to the God we serve that you can't state it strongly enough. But this is the stuff that they're going to come at us with. Well, look, obviously they're going to do everything they can to denigrate Donald Trump. Not a perfect man, but he's not Jesus. And by the way, let me just say for the record, so that everybody, again, you all forgive me because I know you all know this, but maybe somebody who doesn't will hear it. Donald Trump's not our savior. Jesus Christ is our savior. Donald Trump is a public servant that we are entrusting the responsibility to lead our constitutional republic for a period of 4 years. Period. And we are voting for him, those of us who are, because we believe that he will lead it, generally speaking, in the way we really believe it should go. An acknowledgement of God, an acknowledgement of our constitutional republic, acknowledgement that our rights and liberties don't come from man, but from God. And while I don't like the way he's kind of softened his message on life, I cannot forget that he appointed three judges who were responsible for overturning Roe v. Wade. I mean, folks, that is an immeasurable contribution to the pro-life cause. And it's not the end of the battle, but it's an important, it's not the end of the war, maybe I should say, the spiritual war, but it is certainly a major battle won, because it established this principle: there is no constitutional right to kill an unborn baby, period. Period. I don't agree that this is an issue that has to be ultimately fought out in the States, because what I really believe is the ultimate answer is, we don't have any choice right now, but what I really believe is the ultimate answer is that we've got to establish a constitutional amendment that recognizes life from the moment of conception. And that means we've got to see the hearts and minds of the American people change to a point where they, that's why I say the way we discuss abortion is wrong. We should not allow ourselves to be dragged into 15 weeks, 6 weeks, 21 weeks, and then, you know, can the baby feel pain? We should be asserting life begins at conception. The entire genetic blueprint for who a person is there. It's true for you. It's true for me. From the moment you were conceived, from the moment I was conceived, we were a human being at that point. We were just a human being at the earliest stages of development. In the same way that a baby is not the same as a two-year-old, and a two-year-old is not the same as a five-year-old, and a five-year-old is not the same as a 15-year-old, and a 15-year-old is not the same as a 25-year-old, and on. They're all human beings, but at different stages of development. I mean, a baby can't really focus their eyes. They can't discern sounds in the same way that mature human beings can. They cannot speak, they cannot walk, they cannot take care of themselves in any way. Does anybody deny that it's a human being? Well, why is it a human being 1 minute after birth, but not a human being 1 minute before? Well, if it's a human being 1 minute before, what about 1 day before? Well, if 1 day before, what about 1 month before? What about 2 months before? I mean, this notion that it's not human, it's not life, is just preposterous. But that's what they're selling. But the Bible says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that statement doesn't make any sense if it doesn't mean that that nation is governed by God's rules of life. Say that a nation's God is the Lord, but it pays no attention to what God says in his word. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. And as I've said many times, you all have heard me say this, if that is true, then the antithesis is true. Cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. So you make your God money, you make your God power, you make your God science, you make your God anything else, and you are bringing the curse. I want my country to be blessed and not cursed. And so I think that the choice that we are facing is quite clear. So look, they're going to use everything they can. They're going to load the shotgun, if you will. Of course, Tim Walz won't be asked to load it because he apparently doesn't know how to load a shotgun. Just saying. You know, Mr. Manhood, right? Right. His own shotgun. He doesn't know how to load it. I was out shooting my shotgun not too long ago. I thought to myself, how can you claim to be such a man and, you know, I have guns and you can't load a shotgun? Look, the false, the fake, the fraudulent is what they're trafficking in. But they're going to call Trump a fascist. Governor Gavin Newsom has already said that and says, you know, you've got to acknowledge it's fascism. This guy Kelvin. His name is Leonard Larry McKelvey. They call him Charlemagne. I'm not even calling him by that stupid name, but Leonard Larry McKelvey, I think it is, said to Kamala Harris, I mean, we know that what Donald Trump is offering is fascism. Why can't we say that? I mean, how dumb can you be and still breathe? These people don't even know what fascism is. And it's not what Donald Trump is proposing. It's not what he's trafficking in at all. Love of country, healthy nationalism, America first is not fascism. And it's not some sort of Nazi-like Christian so-called nationalism. None of that. It's basic common sense. In fact, the word of God says he that would not care for his own has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This is our own country. We are our first responsibility to America. That's not hatred for other people. But how in the world can we help other people if we don't first help ourselves? How in the world can you help your neighbor if you yourself broke, busted, disgusted, your house falling apart, you don't have food to eat? Who are you going to help? But they're going to call him a fascist. They're going to call him a racist. They're going to call him a dictator. Look, the last 2 weeks of this campaign is going to be the moment of mass hysteria. That's what they're going to offer. Mass hysteria, trying to literally demagogue and frighten people into this notion that, well, the Biden-Harris administration has been a disaster, but I can't vote for Donald Trump. And we as Christians know better. Now, look, we have got to turn our vote out. I said, I've already voted. I trust you have, too. If you haven't, go ahead and get out there and vote early. And then let's spend our time trying to get others out to vote. I mentioned to you before, I have a PAC, Stand America PAC. The website is standamericapac.us. We are running ads in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia to the Black Christian community. And as you all know, with the Black men apparently turning toward Donald Trump, we are trying to accelerate that process. In fact, if you go to the website, you'll also find an ad there, that the last ad we just did, that is focused on men and on manhood, because I think that these men are onto something. They're realizing that this administration also denigrates manhood. They want to exalt, really, feminism is what they really want to exalt, not women. They want to exalt feminism, which is, again, a perverse brand of womanhood. It's not true womanhood as God has ordained it. Because true womanhood is dignity and compassion and strength and love of God and love of family and love of country and courage to stand up for what is right and protection of one's own progeny. I mean, this is true womanhood. What these people are offering is a perversion, which is, you know, kill your own baby and be proud of it. You know, all men are bad. Oh, yeah, men are toxic. That's a perversion. But then again, everything they offer is a perversion. And as I said at the outset, it doesn't lead to human flourishing. It leads to human suffering and pain and death. So we're not buying into their attempts to caricature Donald Trump or their attempts to somehow sanctify Kamala Harris. Neither one will work, because we have a track record to compare the two. And if we as Christians vote on that basis, the choice is crystal clear. So folks, let's be praying. As again, my pastor used to say, we're gonna pray like everything depends upon God, and we're gonna work like everything depends upon us, and we're going to win. This is my prediction, by the way. Now, you hold me to it. I am predicting Donald Trump by 4 points. That is my prediction. Donald Trump by 4 points, 52-48 overall. I don't have a number for the Electoral College because I'm not sure exactly where that's going to fall down. But maybe by next week, I will have figured that out and I'll be able to make a prediction there. Look, I could be wrong on a number of bases, but I am convinced that I'm right about this. Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States and going to be president of the United States once again. I believe that's going to in part be the grace of God. Let me end with this. When Donald Trump dodged the bullet, literally, not figuratively now, literally dodged the bullet. He did get hit in the ear, but he literally dodged the bullet by turning to his right. And I really believe that America is going to dodge the bullet of Marxism and socialism and atheism and secularism and the cult of death. America is going to dodge the bullet by turning to our right, turning to God's right, turning to what's right. And the same way that God miraculously saved Donald Trump, I believe is God is going to miraculously give this nation a new birth of freedom. That government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. You know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up. Refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.